Yeah, I agreed, slowly taking a few steps away from the jungle and towards the pool, hearing everyone shift to follow me. While water wasn't exactly a scarce resource within the grove, it wasn't a plentiful one by any means either, and a large pool such as this would be hotly contested by the jungle creatures, had it been anywhere else. Though maybe even that didn't stop other creatures from trying their luck, I thought to myself as we approached the pool, unable to help but notice a fairly large quantity of bones scattered around it, many of them having been crushed to splinters. Looks like it needs to enforce that claim every so often, I said as we all came to a stop a short distance away from the water. No kidding, Constantine stated as he bent down to pick up a shard of bone from the ground and then inspected it.
It has been here recently, Amaranth's voice said in my mind as he sniffed the air. It has a very weak scent, and one that dissipates rapidly, yet I recognize it from before.
Well, that's good to know, I replied to the cat, before glancing back towards the jungle as I heard the leading edge of the raid begin to draw closer. All right, I stated in a quiet voice, my brain shifting into action as I began to plan out the coming battle. The rest of the adventurers are going to start showing up pretty soon, so let's spread the word for them to keep as quiet as possible when they arrive. I have no idea how good the beast's hearing is, but let's not take a chance.
No argument there, Constantine agreed, everyone else murmuring in agreement.
Good, I continued, giving the group a nod. I'll leave that for all of you to sort out. But let's also get all the group leaders organized and up front. I'm going to go up ahead and look over the approach into the cave to see what we have to work with. Then we can iron out a plan of attack and have the group leaders pass it on to their respective people.
Sounds good to me, Sierra agreed, then winced as several voices filtered out from the jungle nearby.
Shit! Okay, we need to get on top of all that noise now if we're going to keep things quiet. Let's go.
Moving with a sense of urgency, everyone save for Ignis, Amaranth, and myself took off away from us as they rushed to quiet the arriving raid. Some of them headed straight into the jungle to head off nearby groups, while others made a beeline to those that had already emerged from the overgrowth.
Hido is just up ahead, closer to the cave, Ignis said to me, pointing to indicate his direction. The rest look like they've circled back to join the raid already.
Then closer to the cave is where we need to go, I replied as we began to move, picking our way through the barren and uneven landscape until we eventually found the aforementioned elf. We had taken shelter behind a large mound of volcanic stone that offered a near-perfect view of the cave ahead.
You certainly brought the cavalry quickly,
Hido said by way of greeting, having sensed Ignis's gradual approach through the grove. We had good motivation to come, I replied, motioning my head towards the cave. Is it still in there?
Well, we're all still alive, aren't we?
Hido asked with a touch of sarcasm before shaking his head at my question.
But really, we haven't heard a peep since we all got here. I think it's gone to sleep for the night. Assuming that it sleeps in the first place.
Your guess is as good as mine on that front, I said with a shrug as I moved to peer over the mound to get a better look at the cave, hoping that the closer view would give me some sort of inspiration of how to plan the coming battle. Do we all try to rush into the cave and try to fight it inside, or do we try to pull it out here and fight it in the open? I considered as I inspected the terrain, finding the approach to the cave rocky yet still relatively flat. Fighting over here would let us all use our numbers more efficiently, but it would also let the beast run around, and it'd be hard to keep it under control. Fighting it in the cave, though, we'd be able to fight it head-on and reduce its mobility, but we would be sacrificing the same.
There it goes again.
Hito's whispered voice interrupted my thoughts as a flash of green suddenly appeared near the right side of the cave's mouth, illuminating a familiar shape.
The runestone, I said as my eyes fixated on the distant light, watching it shift indecipherably for a time before fading. Damn, I can't make out anything from this far away.
Could try to get closer if you want to,
Hito suggested hesitantly.
It flashes often enough.
No, I replied, shaking my head, already having dismissed that option. It's not worth the risk. We need to deal with the beast first.
And any ideas how exactly we're going to do that?
The elf asked. Several, I replied as I pulled my gaze off where I'd seen the runestone and scanned the terrain a second time, hoping that I'd find something to make my decision easier. But none that I'm really happy with.
So, now what then?
Ignis asked. Now we go back and come up with a plan, I stated, turning away from the cave and looking back towards the jungle, having noticed that Sierra and the others were moving towards us via party sense. It hadn't taken her and the others long to organize the arriving raid behind us, and I could see that a smaller cluster of just over a dozen people had broken off from the main group and were slowly making their way towards us. Deciding that it would be best to greet the oncoming group further away from the cave than where we currently were, I waved for the two to follow me and moved to meet them halfway. As I walked, I could see a handful of familiar faces in the group, aside from my friends, marking them all as the group leaders from our raid.
So, Lyrian,
Alduin was the first to ask once we'd managed to form up into a tight circle, his voice barely above a whisper.
What exactly are our options?
A narrow cave or the wide open area outside it, I replied, seeing everyone lean in to listen. It's hard to make out from this far away, but I doubt we'd be able to get more than a dozen people in a line if we fought in the cave. Less if the terrain inside doesn't cooperate.
A dozen people would likely fold under the beast's attacks like paper,
a female Tulshar whose name I didn't know stated.
We'd have no room to maneuver or use our numbers.
I thought pretty much the same thing. I agreed, nodding at the dark-furred woman. Which is why I think it'd be best for us to draw the beast out of the cave and fight it out here in the open. If we're fighting people, or even smaller creatures, fighting in the tunnel would be a better tactic, but in this case we'd simply be feeding the front ranks into its mouth piecemeal. Everyone visibly grimaced at that mental thought, but didn't disagree with my assessment.
I'm a fan of anything that doesn't end up with me being dog food,
Lazarus announced, with several of the more melee-oriented group leaders echoing in sympathy.
Fighting outside sounds like a safer bet.
Only if we can contain the creature,
Alduin said, the experienced warrior having arrived at the same concern that I had earlier.
We can attempt to box the beast in using our numbers while fighting in the open, but our success will largely depend on everyone standing their ground when it turns its attention towards you. If a group breaks,
then it can run circles around us, Freya finished. A shrill whistle suddenly interrupted Freya and caused all of us to flinch at the sound of the ear-splitting shriek.
What the hell is that?
I exclaimed, feeling my heart begin racing in my chest at the unexpected noise.
Where's it coming from?
I don't know, I can't tell,
Constantine replied as everyone in the circle glanced around in a panic, trying to find the source of the sound, only to have a thunderclap of magic echo out from the direction of the raid. Twisting at the newest noise, we all instinctively looked back towards the waiting raid of adventurers, only to see several more flashes of magic erupt amid their ranks, and for everyone to begin to scatter, confused voices and shouts filling the air.
Shit!
Sierra cursed as we all watched the disaster unfold before us.
Are we under attack?
I have no idea!
Drace barked, taking a step towards the rapidly disintegrating raid with the majority of the group leaders moving to follow him.
But we need to get this under control now before it wakes the damn boss up!
All of you go sort out the raid, I ordered, while tearing my eyes off the adventurers in the distance and glancing around us, trying to find the source of the whistling sound that had preempted the chaos.
I'm gonna find out what's making that damn noise.
I hear it coming from behind us,
Amaranth told me as the rest of the group rushed off towards the raid, prompting the both of us to turn around.
From the cave?
I asked, my eyes darting towards the jagged entrance. Nothing seemed to have changed in the short time that we'd had our backs turned towards the place. At least nothing. A flash of movement suddenly caught my eye, and I felt my heart lurch as I saw a figure jogging towards the cave. A figure that I couldn't help but recognize.
Ignis!
I spat the name like a curse as a wave of both anger and confusion shot through me.
What is he?
Behind you!
Amaranth's mental voice suddenly roared through my mind as he let out the beginnings of a savage growl. Flinching from the sudden volume of my familiar's warning, I reflexively twisted and fell into a fighting stance, managing to complete my turn just as a dagger sliced a line across my jaw, inches away from my throat.
Shit!
I heard a voice curse as the now bloody dagger reversed itself and came in for another attack, forcing me to take a step backward to avoid it.
They weren't kidding when they said that you were fast!
Ugh! I grunted, my hand reaching up to clench my face as a wave of pain and shock shot through me, my brain caught completely off guard by the unexpected attack. Forcing myself past my surprise, I followed the hand holding the now bloody dagger until I found myself staring directly at Hedo, his teeth bared angrily as he rapidly backed away from Amaranth, who had placed himself before me.
He attacked you!
Amaranth shouted angrily through our link as he swiped his claw towards the elf, managing to connect with the forearm holding the dagger and drawing a line of blood across it.
What the fuck, Hito?
I shouted, recovering from my surprise as I reflexively reached down to draw a splinter from its sheath.
What the hell are you doing?
Isn't it obvious?
Hito replied with a laugh as he drew his short sword from his waist, oblivious to the wound that Amaranth had just inflicted on his arm.
We're trying to wipe the raid!
Why?
I demanded, seeing another flash of magic erupt from the now disorganized cluster of adventurers in the distance.
Because fuck you, that's why!
He spat angrily before rushing forward with both of his weapons held high, uncaring of the fact that both Amaranth and I were ready to meet him.
Damn it, tell me why!
I shouted as I stepped up beside my familiar, catching Hito's slashing sword on Splinter and trapping it, while Amaranth simply dodged under the elf's dagger and sank his powerful jaws into the wrist holding it.
You have to know you can't beat the two of us! You missed your chance with your cheap shot!
Oh, I'm aware!
Hito croaked through clenched teeth as my free hand then grabbed him by the throat and pulled him closer.
But this was never about beating you. That would have just been a bonus if I'd managed to do it myself. This was just about keeping you busy for as long as I could.
God damn it!
I hissed angrily, having momentarily forgotten about Ignis after Hito's unexpected betrayal. Glaring at the man's unexpectedly hate-filled eyes, I realized that I wasn't going to get anything more from him, and that every second I wasted here was another second that I played into whatever plan that he and Ignis had concocted. Making a split-second decision, I released my hold on Hito and shoved him backward, watching him twist and fall awkwardly as my familiar stubbornly held onto his arm.
Take care of him for me, Amaranth,
I said, feeling a cold wave come over me as I turned back towards the cave where I'd last seen Ignis, my feet already moving towards it, and make it hurt. A vicious snarl, followed by a pained scream, rang out behind me as I dug my heels in and began to sprint towards the beast's lair. Triggering blink step as I ran, I used the spell to give myself a head start towards the cave, eventually spotting Ignis, who is now standing completely still directly in front of the cave's entrance.
They trained the camp yesterday on purpose, I thought to myself, the realization causing me to curse myself for my stupidity.
None of us even paused to consider the fact that he and his friends would have tried to do it intentionally, especially not after the majority of them had died. But why? Why would they want to do that? This doesn't seem like simple griefing, and trying to screw us over for fun? Hito actually seemed angry about something, but what?
Continuing my mad dash towards Ignis, I was eventually forced to put my questions to the side as I finally reached the cave's mouth, seeing him turn around to face me, still holding a whistle to his mouth. With a dying shriek, he pulled the object away from his face and broke into a smile as I approached.
Lyrian, you made it, he said with obvious joy. I didn't think for a second that Hito had a chance in taking you down, but he really wanted so badly to try. I just had to let him, though it looks like a close shave was all that he could manage.
What the hell, Ignis?
I barked at the half-elf, his calm and collected tone causing my anger to soar to new heights.
Why are you doing this?
Well, I said I'd try harder next time, didn't I?
Ignis replied, his grin growing even wider.
You know, everything was going so well until I literally ran into you yesterday. Like, what kind of fucking cosmic joke is that? Here I am trying to fuck everything up and boom! There you were, just in time to save the day. God, I was so angry. Still am a little, to be honest.
Why the hell would you want to do that, Ignis?
I asked, trying to keep my anger from boiling over as I took a step closer to the man, only to see him take a step backward towards the cave in response.
This entire region is going to be destroyed if we don't fix the ley line in time and get those spirits under control. I can't see you gaining anything from any of this.
It was never about us gaining something from doing all of this,
Ignis replied with a shake of his head.
It was about sending a message. One that would be impossible to ignore.
A message to who, Ignis?
I demanded, getting tired of the roundabout conversation.
And for what?
The smile on Ignis's face grew wider at my question, as if he'd been leading the conversation just to get to this point.
Did you ever wonder how the Grey Devils kept finding all of the caravans that came out this way?
Ignis asked me. cocking his head to the side as he spoke to me.
Huh?
I replied, confused by the unexpected shift in the conversation. What does that have to do with this?
It has everything to do with this,
Ignis exclaimed, the smile on his face finally fading away and shifting into anger.
You and your damn guild ruined a good thing for us, Lyrian, and then when you had a chance to make amends, you spat in our faces and made life even more difficult for us. You're a damn spy for Carver, I said as I finally began to piece together everything that Ignis had told me.
Ah, I knew you'd figure it out eventually, Lyrian,
the half-elf replied, the half-smile on his face returning.
Which brings us back to where we are right now. Carver's decided that an example is in order, and given that we have this convenient world event to work with, he decided that it would be in all of our best interest if things just went kaboom here. In fact, he and the others should be on their way to make sure that happens now.
Carver is coming here?
I couldn't help but blurt out, feeling the bottom of my stomach fall out at the revelation.
Actually,
Ignis said, mockingly looking at his wrist as if inspecting a watch.
He should be here already, and on his way to the ley line if the timing is right. Not that I really expect you to be able to do anything about it.
Because in the next few seconds,
the half-elf continued, as heavy footsteps began to echo out from the cave behind him.
I think you're gonna have a hell of a lot more pressing things to worry about.
No sooner did Ignis finish his sentence than a massive, familiar-looking head emerged from the shadows of the cave, its bright yellow eyes glowing fiercely as it first gazed at me and then shifted over towards the half-elf standing closer to it. With a growl of agitation, I saw the pupils in the twin orbs narrow in anger, the noise coming from its throat increasing in volume as the rest of its body stepped out of the shadows, towering over both Ignis and me.
Goodbye, Lyrian,
Ignis said in a steady voice while slowly spreading his arms open in acceptance for what was about to happen.
It's a shame I won't see how this works out. But then again, I really don't have any doubts what the final result will be.
Before the final word could leave Ignis's mouth, a massive maw shot down from above and swallowed him whole, the sounds of ripping flesh and cracking bones filling the air as it began to chew through his body. Making short work of its impromptu meal, I then saw the yellow eyes shift towards me, the maw opening wide as it took another step out of its cave.
Oh, fuck!
I whispered to myself as I gazed up at the creature and took a step backward. Everything in my mind going blank, save for a single thought repeating itself endlessly. The beast was awake. Chapter 52. Time slowed as the beast sailed through the air towards me, giving me a perfect view of my impending death. I saw its long and wicked claws stretch out before its body, their razor-sharp tips angling themselves directly towards my chest. The creature's maw was open, a distant howl managing to pierce through my stunned mind, as rows of jagged teeth grew larger and larger with each passing instant. As it grew closer, I could even see the bloody spittle that sprayed out from the side of its jaws, along with the bits of flesh that once belonged to Ignis.
That bastard!
I felt a wave of rage surge up inside of me at the thought of the man, the emotion piercing through the terror of the beast's presence and causing my mind to snap back into focus.
He expects all of us just to lay down and die, to let Aldford die. I can't let him get away with this, not without trying.
Feeling the paralyzing fear release its hold on me, time resumed its normal speed as I looked up at the beast and saw that the distance between us had almost vanished. In an instant, I realized that unless I did something fast, I'd soon be sharing the same fate as Ignis, something that he no doubt had hoped for when he'd lured me so close to the cave. Fortunately for me, however, fast was only a matter of thought. Triggering blink step, I watched the beast's open mouth blur away into a spray of dull colors as I teleported out of its path, reappearing at the very edge of my range just in time for it to complete its pounce, the impact causing the ground to shake.
The beast is awake!
I shouted to Amaranth via our mental link as I watched the creature react with confusion after it had landed and didn't find me in its claws, buying me the precious seconds I needed to get my feet moving.
What is happening with the rest of the raid? We need them up here fast!
They are still in disarray,
my familiar replied a second afterward.
But the magic being thrown about has ceased.
That's better than nothing, I guess, I replied as the beast's head snapped in my direction, hearing the ground crunch underneath my feet as I put on a burst of speed.
I'm gonna need your help distracting it in the meantime.
I'm already on my way,
Amaranth told me just as the beast let out an angry snarl that prompted me to turn my full attention back towards it, and for the first time found myself able to take in its full appearance without near-crippling terror affecting me.
It must have some sort of fear aura, I thought as the beast launched itself towards me, its thick and powerful muscles visibly rippling under what I now saw to be scales that covered its entire body.
Gaining speed, the creature moved with a smooth, serpentine grace, despite its massive size, which with my newfound clarity I was able to estimate was at least 15 feet tall, and nearly twice that in length. Catching sight of a reptilian tail whipping back and forth behind the creature as it moved, I felt an odd wave of familiarity come over me, feeling as if I almost recognized it from something I'd seen before.
It looks sort of like a wingless dragon, I said to myself, angling my sprint away from the beast and back in the direction of the raid, hoping that Sierra and the others would be able to rally the raid before long and come to my rescue.
But it doesn't quite look like a dragon. It's more lizard-like and without the long neck. Wait, I know what it is! It's a landrake!
Glancing over my shoulder as if to confirm my guess, I saw that the beast was rapidly gaining on me and decided that I had several much more pressing matters to worry about rather than trying to identify exactly what species it was. Chief among those concerns being to somehow find a way to survive the next 30 seconds. Thinking desperately, I briefly considered switching my sprint into a zigzag pattern, but then just as quickly dismissed it, realizing that the beast was likely better suited to twisting and turning than I was. The best chance for survival that I could think of would be for me to use my magic to confuse the creature, and try to stay one step ahead of it for as long as possible.
I'm almost there,
Amaranth called to me as I heard the beast draw closer behind me.
What do you need me to do?
Run past it when I blink step, I shouted to the cat as I glanced over to my left, checking my flank for a safe spot to teleport to. We need to force it to stop and keep it in place until the raid is ready. Outrunning it isn't an option. Not waiting for a reply from my familiar, I slowed my sprint for as much as I dared, allowing the beast to catch up with me ever so slightly. Then, a moment before a set of teeth snapped through the spot that I was standing in, I triggered blink step once again. Feeling my world shift, I reappeared at the edge of my range laterally and away from the beast, turning my head just in time to see it rush past me, the momentum of its charge carrying it forward. Immediately I heard a frustrated howl fill the grove, as the beast planted all four of its clawed feet into the ground, its head whipping around wildly in an attempt to find me. But before it could twist far enough to see me, an azure streak blurred past it on the opposite side that I'd found myself on, causing its attention to instantly shift in that direction.
It's seen me,
Amaranth called with a note of nervousness in his mental voice as the colossal creature twisted its body to pursue him.
What now?
Turn it towards me and run past me as close as possible, I told the cat as I began sprinting directly towards the beast, watching its dark scales gleam in the emerald light. Once it sees me, it should stop.
Should?
Amaranth shouted at me angrily.
What if?
Then just keep running, I yelled at the cat, not able to fault him for his concern, but also unable to do anything about it. Maintaining my pace towards the beast as Amaranth cut his sprint to the inside, I tightly gripped Splinter's hilt and hoped that my next move worked. Or at the very least didn't end up getting the both of us killed. Adjusting my timing as Amaranth rapidly approached, I glanced up towards the beast's head, watching its eyes shift as it tracked my familiar, its body visibly coiling to strike. Then, just before the beast could pounce, Amaranth rushed past me, barely a stride's length separating us as our paths intersected, causing the creature's eyes to pass right over me and for its entire body to suddenly hesitate. Having been so focused on following my familiar, the beast had temporarily forgotten about me, at least until I reappeared in the center of its vision and was rushing directly towards it, a tactic that immediately provoked an instinctive response. Fearing that it was under attack, the beast instantly shifted its attention off Amaranth and onto me, its coiled body shooting forward with its maw opened wide, just as I'd hoped it would. In the split second that the beast had spotted me, it had hesitated for the briefest of moments, between deciding to change targets and finally executing its attack, giving me just enough time to put on one last burst of speed and to drop down into a roll, just barely managing to dive under its snapping jaws. Springing up from my somersault, I forced myself to move as I found myself now directly under the beast and rushed down the length of its body. This is probably the best, worst idea that I could have come up with, I thought as I charged Splinter with a shocking touch and thrust it upwards into the creature's belly above me, feeling the sharp tip of the blade pierce through the thinner underscales and sink into the flesh within. But if this doesn't piss it off and keep its attention focused on us, I don't know what will. Discharging my blade into the wound, I felt the beast's entire body convulse from the unexpected attack, an enraged howl following it less than a second afterward. Pulling Splinter free as the beast began to twist in an attempt to get to me, I then rushed towards the creature's flank, looking to make a quick exit while I still had the chance. But before I could take more than a handful of steps, the beast howled in pain for a second time, and then immediately began to shake its body. "What's going on out there?" I asked Amaranth as I ran, taking the opportunity to deliver another slash along the beast's underside and managing to open a shallow wound.
"I am upon it!" Amaranth shouted back. "Its scales are rather difficult to pierce."
"Wait, what?" I demanded, feeling my stride slow ever so slightly as I processed what Amaranth had just said. "You're on top of it?"
"That's what I said,"
my familiar replied angrily as the beast's thrashing intensified.
"We are to provide a distraction, are we not?"
Right. Carry on then, I said back to Amaranth, this time making the most of his distraction to deliver a powerful two-handed thrust into the beast's underside and attempting to drain whatever mana I could from the creature. Almost instantly, I felt a wave of cool energy travel up my arm before the beast suddenly launched itself forward and pulled itself free from my sword. "Amaranth, it's starting to..." Without warning, the beast's heavy leg slammed into me, the impact taking me completely off my feet and causing me to fly through the air a short distance before landing heavily on the ground, eventually rolling to a stop. Gasping in pain from the unexpected blow, I instinctively looked back in the direction of the leg, only to see the beast's clawed foot descending down right on top of the spot that I was lying in. "Shit!" I cursed in sudden panic, and forced myself past the pain coursing through my back and rolled out of the way of the descending limb, managing to just barely avoid being crushed as the massive paw briefly touched down before springing up again. Glancing upwards as the beast continued to move forward, I saw the rest of its body pass over me just as Amaranth's voice filled my head.
"I was forced to abandon my perch,"
he warned me, sounding indignant and angry as he spoke.
"The beast reached up with its hind leg and shed me like I was a common flea."
"It's okay," I told Amaranth as I slowly forced myself back onto my feet, feeling the pain in my back begin to fade into a dull throb.
"We did a pretty good job for our first try."
"And what would we do for our next?"
my familiar asked me with sudden urgency as he reappeared at my side.
"Because it is about to return."
Glancing up at Amaranth's words, I saw that the beast had managed to twist around after putting some space between us, its angry yellow eyes now tiny slits as it snarled with barely contained rage. Up until this very moment, we'd simply been prey to the gargantuan apex predator, barely worth of notice, save for the effort that it took to catch and devour us. But now that we'd managed to injure it and dare make it feel pain, we'd been shifted into another category entirely, one that forced it to take us much more seriously. "We keep its attention split as best we can," I told my familiar as we watched the beast slowly advance forward, keeping its body low to the ground while its eyes fixated on Amaranth and me. A low growl echoed out from its throat as it coiled its muscles in preparation to strike. "Just follow my lead and be ready to grab my spell when the moment comes." Taking a deep breath as the three of us readied ourselves to resume our dance, I briefly checked my raid sense, hoping to get an idea of just how much longer Amaranth and I had to survive. As the information flowed into me, my heart fell as I learned that a handful of the raid members had somehow died and were now back in Aldford, prompting me to mentally curse Ignis and his group once more. Yet pushing past that discovery, I sensed that several of the groups behind me were starting to make their way towards us. "Help is on the way," I said to Amaranth as I took a step forward, sensing him do the same. "We just need to hold out a little bit longer." Receiving a raspy croak from my familiar in response, the two of us then charged forward directly towards the beast, our sudden movement causing it to spring forward to meet us. With the distance separating us rapidly vanishing, I made sure to ready Blinkstep, holding the spell in my mind for Amaranth to use when the moment came. Waiting until the last possible moment, I let the gap between us shrink to almost nothing.
Now!
I shouted at my familiar, feeling him grab hold of the waiting spell and vanish, allowing me to trigger a second casting a heartbeat later. In an instant, the two of us vanished from sight and reappeared on either side of the beast, who to my dismay was already twisting its body in my direction, having grown wise to my teleporting tactic. Not even having the time to let out a curse, I found myself forced to dodge under a slashing claw and then leap over a sweeping tail as it threatened to take out my feet from under me. Pressing its advantage without any hesitation, it was all I could do to keep ahead of the beast, as it unleashed its fury on me, its attacks now carrying a level of ferocity that I hadn't seen earlier. All conscious thought fled from my mind as I desperately tried to stay ahead of the beast's reach, finding myself relying more and more on using Blinkstep just to buy a few seconds of relative safety before the creature was upon me again. The deadly dance seemed to continue for ages as both Amaranth and I scrambled to stay alive. The beast alternating its attention between the two of us almost seamlessly now that it had realized we weren't merely prey. Before long, I was panting heavily as my endurance began to falter, and I felt myself hard-pressed to keep up, just barely managing to dodge a sweeping claw, and then immediately being forced to use Blinkstep to evade a snapping bite that I hadn't even seen coming.
"Look out!"
Amaranth's voice rang out in my mind less than a second after I'd reappeared from my panicked Blinkstep, causing me to flinch in numb surprise as I saw the beast's other claw rushing directly towards me. Without being able to even form a thought, let alone react in time, the massive paw slammed into me with bone-shattering force and slapped me straight off my feet, causing me to bounce and then tumble across the ground a fair distance, two red-tinted alerts flashing in the center of my vision.
The beast
critically hits you for 548 points of damage. You are low on health. Groaning as I came to a stop, it was all that I could do to take a breath, the entire left side of my body feeling like it had been run over by a truck, or more aptly in my case, slapped away like an annoying insect. Managing just the smallest of gasps, I felt a disturbing watery sensation in my chest, which then quickly became a ragged, bloody cough.
I think I have a punctured lung,
I thought distantly, as I reflexively tried to sit myself up, only to have an incredible wave of agony from my wounded side dissuade me from doing so.
Along with the broken everything else.
Are you okay?
Amaranth's voice shouted in my head, a sense of anxiety seeping through our bond.
Not really,
I replied. Unable to feel anything but pain, combined with the sense of wetness from my left arm or shoulder. Curious about what that sensation could be, I reached to touch my side with my still working arm, while checking to see just how much health I had left.
But I'm not quite dead yet.
Statistics. HP. 232 out of 1,056. Stamina. 132 out of 960. Mana. 235 out of 1,277.
Just one solid hit nearly did me in,
I noted through gritted teeth as I brought back the hand that I'd used to check my side, seeing that it was completely covered in blood, specifically my blood. Staring at the hand with a numb expression for several heartbeats, I slowly realized that the beast's paw had also included a particularly sharp set of talons, talons that I clearly hadn't been fortunate enough to evade when it had hit me. As I continued to stare at the blood now dripping down my glove, I heard a desperate voice shout out my name, causing me to shift back into the moment.
"We're coming, Lyrian!"
a male voice yelled amid the sound of running feet.
"Hold on a bit longer!"
Is that Alduin? I thought, recognizing the voice and trying to push myself up, feeling a wave of lightheadedness come over me as I moved. Clenching my jaw through the pain as I pushed myself awkwardly up on one side with my good arm, I glanced around the battlefield, seeing that the beast was now barely a dozen feet away, its hateful glare focused directly on me as it rapidly approached. But before it could close the distance between us, a hail of magic and arrows slammed into it, causing it to shriek loudly in pain and recoil from the sudden assault. As if encouraged by the painful cry, a chorus of triumphant shouting rang out through the air, moments before a horde of adventurers charged into view, their massed ranks slamming directly into the beast and forcing it to stagger backward from the sheer weight behind it. It had taken time, but at long last the raid had finally arrived. In an instant, the thunder of magic and shouting voices took over the Twilight Grove, filling the air with a near-deafening cacophony that was intermixed with the occasional howling cry from the beast. Caught staring at the sight before me, I missed the sound of rapidly approaching footsteps, only recalling them in hindsight after Veronia's face came into view before me.
Veronia?
I wheezed in surprise at the woman's unexpected arrival as she dropped down beside me, her eyes going to the wound in my side.
What are you doing here?
Saving your life, it seems,
she replied tersely as she set down her shield and then shifted to get a better look at the damage the beast's claws had managed to inflict.
We find ourselves rather short of capable healers, and I happen to have some ability to assist in that area.
I didn't know you could heal.
I said, wincing in pain as she put both of her hands directly on top of my wounded side.
"There is a lot you don't know about me,"
Veronia stated in a harsh tone, glaring at me for several seconds before her expression softened.
"Just keep still while I take care of this."
As soon as she finished speaking, a wave of heat surged into my wounds from Veronia's hands, causing the pain coursing through me to gradually diminish, until it finally vanished, all while a string of identical messages appeared in my combat log. Veronia heals you with Lay on Hands for 81 points of damage.
There,
the woman announced a few seconds later, taking her now blood-covered hands away from my side.
Good is new, I suppose.
Thanks, I replied, breathing a sigh of relief now that the pain was gone and turning my head towards Veronia.
That spell you used. You're a disciple, aren't you?
I am. She replied curtly as she grabbed her shield and stood up, then paused to offer her hand to help me up.
But this really isn't the time, nor the place, to discuss that.
You're right, I said, accepting her hand and allowing her to pull me back up to my feet, as the two of us then launched into a sprint to rejoin the fight. Scanning the battlefield as I ran, I was happy to see that in the short span that I'd been out of the fight, the newly arriving adventurers had managed to force the beast back onto its heels as they continued to swarm it. But despite their success in changing the flow of the battle, the beast had managed to make them pay for their efforts, and I could see several wounded or dead adventurers lying on the ground as we ran.
Of course he would be right in front, the fool!
Veronia's hiss reached my ears as we ran, prompting me to glance briefly at her, then back in the direction of the beast where she was looking, only to find Alduin standing right between Drace and Abaddon, directly in front of the beast.
And where else would he be?
I asked, just as I saw Drace catch one of the beast's claws on his shield and hold it in place just long enough for Alduin to deliver a powerful blow with his axe to the limb, all while Abaddon simultaneously stepped up to block the creature's maw from taking a bite out of the bond's vulnerable side.
Somewhere safe?
Veronia barked with sudden anger as she glared over at me, then immediately shifted her sprint and split away from me.
What the hell was that about just now?
I thought with a wide-eyed expression as I saw the woman leave me behind, her reaction completely out of character based on everything I knew about her. Maybe she doesn't completely hate Alduin after all. Shaking my head at the thought, I pushed it to the back of my mind and focused back on the battle before me, catching sight of both Freya and Lazarus on the beast's flank and angling my sprint towards them. Charging forward, I inserted myself into a newly formed gap between them, the adventurer that had been standing there just a moment earlier being flicked away by the beast's now flailing tail.
Lair, you're alive!
Freya greeted me with a shout as I stepped in beside her and delivered a two-handed slash into the beast's side, adding a new wound to the countless others that now adorned its blood-covered side.
We thought we were too late!
It was a close call,
I exclaimed as we were all forced to leap backward in order to evade another swipe from the beast's tail as it came for a second pass.
But I'm sure glad that you're all here now! It was Ignis's group that caused all the chaos!
Lazarus shouted as the three of us stepped back into our old positions, the tail having moved on to threaten the adventurers on the other side of the creature.
They started targeting the healers in the raid and managed to take out a handful before we could get things under control.
Damn,
I cursed angrily, Veronia's earlier words suddenly making more sense to me.
Keto tried to take a cheap shot at me as soon as y'all left, and Ignis was the one who pulled the beast early.
Why would they do that?
Freya demanded angrily as she viciously thrust her spear into the raid boss's side, the heavy tip easily piercing through the tough scales and provoking an angry roar from the creature.
"Because they're working with Carver," I said, feeling a surge of anger shoot through me as the words left my mouth.
"Carver is involved in all this?"
Freya snarled, her head snapping over to look at me.
"You have to be fucking kidding me!"
"I wish I was,"
I replied bitterly. "But that's not all. Apparently Carver's on his way down here, too. He wants to make sure we don't seal the ley line before it blows."
"So all of this was just a damn trap to get us out of the way,"
Lazarus exclaimed from my right as he carved open a large wound on the beast's side.
"Looks like it,"
I agreed, once more delivering a powerful thrust with Splinter.
"That's why we need to put an end to this fight as soon as we can."
"That might be easier said than done. Heads up!"
Freya shouted at the same moment the beast suddenly twisted away from Alduin and the other warriors keeping it in place, turning its attention directly towards us.
"Shit! Aggro!"
I exclaimed, scrambling backward as the beast's snapping jaws filled the spot that we'd all been standing in, just narrowly missing us. As we continued to rapidly back away from the turning creature, I saw its bright eyes fixate on me, the orbs widening in recognition. Letting loose a primal roar of rage, the creature swiped out with a claw directly at me, forcing all of us to dive in different directions to avoid it.
"Damn, it must really hate you, Lear!"
Lazarus shouted as we all desperately tried to regain our feet before the beast could press its attack any further.
"No kidding!"
I agreed as I pushed myself up off the ground and reflexively looked for another attack, only to see that the beast had stopped in its tracks, the muscles on the sides of its throat undulating in a way that I'd never seen before.
"What is it doing?"
Freya asked as she climbed to her feet a short distance away from me, having noticed the same thing I had.
"Is it trying to throw up?"
"I don't know,"
I replied, seeing a thin spurt of liquid leave the beast's mouth as the contractions continued and land on the stone floor, where it then began to sizzle. Confused by what I was seeing, I stared at the dripping substance for several seconds until the pieces finally snapped together in my mind.
"It's acid!"
"Acid?" Freya repeated, a momentarily confused expression crossing her face before being replaced by panicked understanding.
"It's acid!
Everybody move!"
I shouted, my feet already in motion as I saw the beast's mouth open wide, the muscles on its throat contracting sharply and releasing a thick green column from its maw that shot through the air.
"It can breathe acid!"
Seeing Lazarus dive away in the opposite direction that I'd chosen to run, I felt my skin begin to burn as acid splashed up from the spot where I'd just been standing, seeing an alert appear in my combat log in the process.
"The beast hits you with acid spray for 87 points of damage."
"Like we needed this thing to have a special ability on top of being a raid boss,"
I thought as I ran to get out of range of the spray, seeing Freya already several steps ahead of me. A chorus of panicked voices rose all around me as everyone reacted to the beast's new ability, the tide of the battle suddenly shifting as everyone scrambled to get out of its path. Yet as I moved, I noticed that the torrent of acid shifted to follow me as the beast tracked my attempt to escape, trying to catch me with the full force of the attack.
"Damn! It won't leave me alone!" "Lear! Over here!"
I heard Halcyon shout through the chaos, my eyes shifting to spot him and several other mages that had lined up together and were all channeling several force shields, providing a safe pocket for nearby adventurers to take cover in.
"Coming!"
I shouted, risking a glance behind me and realizing that it was only seconds until the beast adjusted to my speed. Faced with no other choice, I dipped once more into the now pitiful pool of mana I had left and triggered Blinkstep, fixing my destination just past the edge of the closest force shield. Vision blurring as I crossed the intervening space, I reappeared at the spot that I'd chosen just in time to see Freya rush past me, having been forced to cross the distance bereft of the aid of magic. Glancing around me, I noticed that the majority of the people around me were all Virtus members, and I breathed a sigh of relief to be back among friends.
"Lear!"
I heard Constantine's tired voice call out from amongst the crowd, prompting me to spin in its direction to see both him and Amaranth rush towards me, both of them covered in blood and looking the worse for wear.
"Please tell me I heard wrong and this thing isn't really...
incoming!"
Halcyon's shouting voice interrupted from beside us.
"Get right up against the shield if you can!"
Not waiting for a second warning, the three of us reflexively rushed to obey the mage's warning and piled in close behind him, just in time to see the beast's acid spray splash across the force shield he'd conjured, before shifting to continue towards the other mages.
"Does that answer your question?"
I asked, glancing back towards Constantine, who had gone noticeably pale at the sight.
"Unfortunately,"
Constantine grunted as he lifted an arm to protect his face from the stinging mist that began to filter down from above.
"If anyone has any bright solutions on how to get out of this, I'm all ears,"
the mage called out, visibly flinching as the spray of acid slammed into the barrier again, causing the shimmering field to waver.
"Because we're not going to be able to keep this up much longer."
"We won't have to,"
Freya's voice called out excitedly from beside us.
"Look, help is on the way."
As one, we all moved to look through the distorted lens of Halcyon's force shield just in time to see the other half of the raid rush out from behind the beast, having found itself temporarily forgotten in the chaos. Without a second's hesitation, they swarmed forward as one, intent on making the beast pay for its lapse in vigilance. Seeing several familiar faces in the distant crowd, my eyes were drawn to the row of people leading the raid's charge, managing to catch sight of Drace, Aldwyn, Veronia, and Lazarus, a heartbeat before they all slammed into the beast's flank.
"Here's our chance!"
I shouted, the stream of acid spewing forth from the beast's mouth abruptly stopping as it staggered from the impact of the raid's brutal charge and howled in pain.
"Take the shields down! Everyone, forward!"
Sensing that the end was finally at hand, a deafening roar tore itself out of our throats as the four shields fell before us and we all charged forward towards the beast, a veritable storm of magic crackling out over us to herald our arrival. Flinching from the now combined onslaught, I saw the beast look uncertain for the first time in the fight as it turned its head back towards us and took a halting step backward as if contemplating retreat. But before it could do anything, we too slammed into the creature and began to swarm around it, our weapons slashing and chopping through flesh. Bellowing in agony, the beast wasted no time in responding to our attacks, its claws and teeth lashing out through our ranks and claiming their fair share in casualties. Yet as the battle began to wear on, the mighty creature finally began to falter, its once glorious hide nothing but a patchwork of carnage and gore, its attacks growing slower and less accurate. Staggering drunkenly from the loss of blood as the epic battle came to an end, the beast opened its mouth one last time in a desperate attempt to send another spray of acid through our ranks, only to invite an avalanche of magic and arrows straight into its maw and down its throat. Coughing violently, that final onslaught proved to be the last that the creature could withstand, and it collapsed to the ground in a heap, a river of blood and acid pouring free from its ravaged maw as it lay completely still. Silence fell over the battlefield, save for our ragged breaths as we all stared at the beast's body in complete exhaustion, none of us daring to believe that it had truly fallen, that after all that had happened, that we'd all somehow managed to end up victorious. Then, without any visible cue, a short and victorious fanfare, followed by a familiar chime, echoed through my ears, as several lines of golden text appeared in my vision. "Congratulations! Your raid has successfully defeated the beast! As a reward for your legendary accomplishment, everyone in your raid has been awarded 1 class skill point, 500 renown. You gain raid experience. Congratulations! You have reached level 19. You have unlocked a class challenge opportunity." Chapter 53. "And that was the last thing he said, before the beast ate him," I finished, spreading my arms out wide in a shrug as I looked out towards the group, hearing several curses fill the air in response.
"The camp," Kaia said in a sad voice. "If Carver and his group came down here, they had to go through the camp, which means..."
"I know, Caius," I replied. "Depending on what they did, Sheila, Jenkins, all the others."
"Are we going to go back?"
Freya asked in a quiet voice.
"We can't,"
I said, shaking my head as much as it pained me to say so. "What's done there is done. We won't be able to change anything at this point. It's more important that we try and find Carver before he can find a way to screw with the world of Entir and destroy everything."
"You think he'd actually do that?"
Lazarus asked, sounding a bit hesitant.
"He and all of his followers then would have to eat the death penalty from dying. There'd be no way they'd be able to get their soul fragments back from this place afterward."
"In a heartbeat,"
Drace said bitterly. We're not exactly his favorite people. Even less so if what Ignis told Lyrian is true.
Damn that man, I spat angrily. I still can't even begin to imagine just how much he would have fed back to Carver. No wonder we never ended up finding him after the battle at the tower.
Or why he pushed us so hard to get into the dungeon,
Halcyon added.
He wanted to know exactly what we were up to.
I bet he and his group are probably long gone from Aldford by now, Constantine said. Assuming they didn't change their bind points beforehand. Hell, if they already knew they were going to destroy the place, they likely would have. Else their death could have them resurrecting back in Coldscar, Iberia, if Aldford was gone.
They tried to cover all their bases, Sierra noted. Well, almost all of them. They couldn't have counted on us actually killing the beast after Ignis's stunt.
Which means that we have a very short window to get things back under control, I said, glancing towards the scattered groups of adventurers that had survived the battle with the beast, and seeing them all in various stages of recovery, as the few healers we had still standing did their rounds and soothed injuries.
We need to get everyone ready to move as soon as Halcyon and I can get a sketch made of the runestone. Hopefully we can get it down in just one cycle.
We will, Lyr,
Halcyon said to me in a confident voice. You two go sort that out then, Sierra told us, then went on to indicate Drace and Freya with a wave. The three of us will sort out the raid and reorganize the groups.
And I guess Lazarus and I'll get the loot sorted then, Constantine said. I think given the urgency right now, no one will complain if we hand it all out later.
That all sounds good to me, I stated as I glanced in the direction of the runestone, then back towards the group. Halcyon and I will regroup with you all once we have our sketches done. With tasks assigned, we all then splintered into our assigned groups and headed off in separate directions, the need to get moving putting a spring in all our steps. Falling in beside Halcyon, the two of us made a beeline towards the runestone at the mouth of the beast's lair, which we expected to illuminate any minute.
Hey, Lyr, Halcyon said to me as we made our way to the cave's entrance. By any chance did you hit level 19 and see our class challenge thing?
Not yet, I replied, noticing one of the several alerts still needing my attention in the corner of my vision. I mean, I hit level 19, but I haven't checked anything yet.
You should, Halcyon told me. It's interesting.
I said thoughtfully as I called up the notification and saw a large block of text appear in my vision. Whoa, that's a lot. Give me a second. Congratulations, you have unlocked your first class challenge opportunity. In order to cater to as wide of a variety of playstyles as possible, class challenges are designed as a way to further develop your character attributes and abilities beyond what normal level progression and equipment are able to grant. For your first class challenge, you will be able to gain a substantial boost to an attribute of your choice by performing an exceptional act of prowess that best embodies that trait. Please note, you will only be able to gain a boost to a single attribute. Good luck. Perform an act of strength, 0 out of 1. Reward, plus 10 to strength. Perform an act of agility, 0 out of 1. Reward, plus 10 to agility. Perform an act of endurance, 0 out of 1. Reward, plus 10 to constitution. Perform an act of magic, 0 out of 1. Reward, plus 10 to intelligence. Perform an act of faith, 0 out of 1. Reward, plus 10 to willpower. Huh, I said after I finished reading the update and dismissed it from my vision. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what I thought too, Halcyon replied. Though, I'm not sure what exactly would qualify for some of them. I mean, like, what does it exactly mean to perform an act of magic or faith? The other ones are pretty easy to explain.
I'm not sure, I said as I considered the question. We're among the first to hit this level, so we're breaking new ground here. Maybe the idea behind the class challenge is to try and push us to our limits and then reward us afterward?
That's as good as an explanation as any, I guess,
Halcyon said with a shrug as we arrived at the still blank runestone.
It'll be something fun to work towards when we have the time. An extra plus 10 to an attribute is worth a bit of effort to figure out.
Definitely, I agreed as the two of us sat down in front of the runestone and readied ourselves to copy the spell fragment when it appeared. Sitting in silence with charcoal in hand as we waited, I found it difficult to keep my hand steady, the after effects of the battle and Ignis's betrayal still weighing heavily on my mind. I should have expected something like this, I thought as I clenched my hands tightly. Why did I think Carver would leave us alone for so long?
I let myself get too roped up in the dungeon and then everything here in the Twilight Grove. Meanwhile, he was just biding his time, all the while knowing what we were up to. "Did I screw up, Hal?" I asked with a sigh, forcing my hands open. I mean, I didn't see anything coming about Carver or Ignis, and he literally ran into me as he was dragging a train through the camp.
"You're too hard on yourself, Lear," Halcyon replied. "None of us saw the bit with Ignis coming. And once we found the grove, after nearly a week of looking for Carver with nothing to show for it, it makes sense he'd fall off our radar."
"Still feels like I could have done more," I said. "Maybe if I'd taken that espionage training that Stanton offered us all."
"And what would you have exactly dropped in favor of doing that, Lear?"
Halcyon asked me while shaking his head.
"I'll admit, maybe we were all a bit naive, thinking that someone wouldn't betray us from the inside, but we also had no reason to believe that someone would."
"Until it bit us in the ass," I grunted.
"That's usually how these things work out,"
Halcyon admitted.
"Sure, it sucks right now, and if we make it through all of this, we're going to have to be more careful going forward. But you can't be stressing yourself out over something we couldn't have anticipated."
Before I could say anything in reply to Halcyon, the runestone chose that moment to activate, prompting the two of us to abandon our conversation as we fervently rushed to copy the spell fragment. Drawing faster than I ever had to before, I didn't dare take my eyes off the display as my hand moved across the paper before me, only shifting my eyes downward after the display had faded and I was forced to rely on memory. Scrambling to get every piece of detail down before we forgot, we sat in silence for nearly a minute as we worked, well aware that we were trying to accomplish a task in a single pass that would have normally taken us 3, if not more, cycles to verify.
"I think I got it,"
I announced, taking my hand away from the paper and looking over the detail.
"Same,"
Halcyon replied, shifting over towards me so we could begin to compare our sketches, realizing that they were completely identical.
"Well, that's good news. Though this one didn't seem as large or complicated as the other two."
"I noticed that," I said in agreement as we then compared the latest spell fragment against the two that we had already found, finding that it fit seamlessly with one of the pieces and effectively completed that half of the spell. "Looks like there's just one last piece left then, if this is any indication."
"Here's to hoping,"
Halcyon replied as he carefully read the combined spell work and then looked back up towards me.
"This looks right to me, Lear. At least in that I can't see anything wrong with it, though I guess we won't know for sure until we find the other fragment and actually try to cast the spell."
"We'll cross that bridge if or when we come to it," I said with a shrug, knowing that this was currently the best we could do. "Right now we have to try and track Carver down. Once we have that taken care of..." I let my words drift off as Halcyon began to nod in understanding.
"I hear you, Lear. We'll figure it out. But speaking of Carver, where'd you think to start looking for him? The ley line?"
"Yeah," I agreed as I turned my head towards the bright emerald light that shone over the jungle. "The only way I can see Carver somehow forcing this world event to kick off is if he screws with the ley line, specifically the ruptured part of it."
"I was thinking the same thing,"
Halcyon said as he followed my gaze.
"Though, you know, Carver won't be the only thing to deal with if we head that way. There'll be spirits, too."
"I'm counting on that, actually," I told the mage as I turned back to face him. "We're likely going to be outnumbered when we manage to catch up to Carver and his group, but if we can somehow use the spirits against them, then maybe we can give them a taste of their own medicine," Halcyon said with a smile.
"Seems fair after all they put us through."
"I certainly think so," I replied, briefly returning the man's smile before resuming my serious expression and looking towards the raid, which was still in the process of getting itself together. "Well, we might as well get back to the others and help get things ready. We got what we came here for. We'll have to come back another time to explore this cave. If there is another time."
"There will be, Lear,"
Halcyon said optimistically as the two of us began our trek back towards the raid.
"There will be."
Falling into a companionable silence as we walked, I decided to take the time to focus my attention on one of the two notifications still flashing in the corner of my vision, the first being my newly gained attribute points. Giving the matter a few seconds of thought, I decided to invest the 5 new points into strength, realizing that it had been a few levels since I'd improved the attribute. With that out of the way, I then turned to the second notification, seeing that it pertained to the class skill point that we had all gained from killing the beast. "Well, I guess we're back to this choice again," I said to myself as I brought up the skills and abilities available for me to spend my skill point on.
noticing that it was the same list as when I had turned level 15. Staring at the list blankly for a second, I found my eyes ignoring all the other options and shifting towards the trait that I had begrudgingly passed up before, reading over it again to refresh my memory. Mana Devourer. Type, trait, special. Duration, permanent. Trait requirement, die from the effects of mana void. Description. You have experienced the depths of your body's hunger for mana firsthand, as it consumed your flesh and blood, feeling something stir deep within you. Even now, recovered from your ordeal, you can't quite shake the feeling that there is something just past your perception, something more than you could tap into, or allow to tap into you. Effect. Unknown. I still don't feel any more confident about this trait, looking at it a second time around, I thought, trying to tease any sort of hint or insight about what the trait might bring if I chose it. Breaking it down based on the requirements, it seems like it has more to do with the mana void trait rather than my ether warped one. But does that mean if I take the trait that it'll only improve my mana draining abilities and nothing else? Or will it have something to do with that ghoul form that I transformed into when I ran out of mana